It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was an epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. What Charles Dickens said about 18th century Europe, I think you could say about 21st century religion in America. I have a quote that I want to start with today. It's in your bulletin notes, sermon notes from Timothy Keller in a new book called The Reason for God. And he says, in short, the world is polarizing over religion. It is getting more religious and less religious at the same time. It is getting more religious and less religious at the same time. I think this New York pastor has something that we ought to consider and think about today. When Paul walked among the unknown, or walked among the idols of Athens, he came upon an altar dedicated to the unknown God. And when he got his chance, he said, I want to tell you about the unknown God. I want to explain him to you. I want you to understand that God. I want you to come to know that God, because that God is more than a piece of stone. God is. God exists. God is more than a figment of our imagination. God is the essence of all being. The Bible begins with these words, in the beginning, God. The Bible closes with these words, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and ever. And in between, we get little clues and glimpses of the true nature of God. God is great. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. God is just. God is holy. God is. And this God who is acts. He acts primarily in creation. He moves across the water and brings order out of chaos. He moves across the dust and brings into life the human being. That is the story of our faith. That is the strength of our lives. And that's what Paul tries to say to the people of Athens. Let me tell you about the God who made the world and everything that is in it. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Now, I'm amazed that we continue to have a great, great debate over the origin of the universe. On the one hand, you have fundamentalist Christians who believe that everything started a little over 6,000 years ago in 24-hour neat periods of time. And on the other extreme, you have philosophers like Bertrand Russell who call the origin of the universe an accidental collection of atoms coming together over billions of years. What I want to say to you today is that you don't have to make either one of those choices. You don't have to leave your brain at home to come to church, but don't surrender your faith in the light of science, because the truth is greater than all of that. You see, if we believe that God exists, and then we own a different view of the universe. If we believe God is for real, then we come to understand the creation mysteries in different kinds of ways. If there was a Big Bang theory, then who pulled the trigger on the Big Bang? If in fact this world is as orderly as every evidence says it is, so precise in the outer regions of the universe and in the most intricate functions of the human body, if it is that precise and that organized, don't you think somebody ought to be behind it to make it so? Don't you think that the natural laws of the universe that are so persistent and so regular and so dependent has a prime mover, has a cosmic intelligence behind it to make it so? And since God exists, our intuitions about meaningfulness of life can be trusted. And when we sing about the beauty of the earth, we have someone to thank. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That is our creed, maker of heaven and earth. And when we believe, we see his handiwork in the stars at night, and we see his mighty force in the winds by day. When we believe, we celebrate order and design and purpose and meaning, the God who is, acts in the work of creation. That is our faith, and that faith matters in the light of eternity. The second thing I want to suggest to us today on the way to communion is that God is personal. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a loving God, a relational God, a righteous God, a just God. Paul says to the Athenians, don't put God in the stone monuments that you have out all across this field. That's not God at all. God is alive. God is personal. God is relational. God wants a relationship with you. In fact, so much so that he sent Jesus Christ into the world to relate to us on a very personal kind of way. So how do we say it in the Creed? We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. The God who is personal, who is intimate, who is relational, who comes into a relationship with the likes of you and me. God sent Jesus Christ into the world for two good reasons. One was to forgive us. Somebody has to pay. Whenever there's a wrong, somebody has to pay. That is the law of the universe. 2 or 3 years ago, my neighbors had a car that self-started itself. At least that was their story. Rolled down a steep driveway, came across the street, through my front yard, and took out my whole garage, the whole front side of my garage. Wiped it out completely. Some of you remember it who were my neighbors at the time. Now, I could have blamed the car for the thing. After all, it supposedly acted on its own, but it's sort of hard to make a deal with steel and plastic. And after all, cars aren't worth much money after they're wrecked, I discovered. I could have said, well, nobody got hurt, and I'm glad nobody got hurt. I'll just take the deal myself. I'll take the cost of it. I'll pay for it myself. I didn't do that. The owner of the car had to take responsibility for an action that his car took on its own, independent of him. He wasn't even home when it happened. We are God's children, the sheep of God's pasture. And when it comes to sin, God takes the hit. God pays the price. God assumes the cost, so whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God is personal, personal for you and for me. There's a second reason he came. He came in Jesus Christ to show us the way to live. I know we live in an age when relativity is the name of the game. You take your beliefs and I'll take mine. You assume your ideas and I'll assume my ideas. Who speaks the truth anymore? Who has the right in our world to say, this is the way, walk ye in it? We're not in that mood anymore, are we? We're in a mood of independent thinking. You think your way, I think my way, and the world will be better off. And we'll all get along okay. Well, our question today, will we? I mean, will we? In trivial matters, okay. I may think it's appropriate to wear a suit for church, and you may think it's fine to come in blue jeans. I think we can handle that. Differences among us, and life can go on quite well. You may like rock music, and I might like hymns. I think we can live with those differences among us without any problems. But what about the weightier matters of life? What about napalming babies? What about starving the poor? What about buying and selling human beings for human trafficking? What about ethnic cleansing? What about genocide? The list goes on and on. There's something fundamentally wrong with some things in the world, regardless of what people's opinion may be about it. We all live as if it were better to seek peace instead of war, to tell truth instead of lying, to care and nurture rather than to destroy. We live that way. But if there's nobody on the bench, if the bench is empty, then who says that's better than the other way of life? Jesus Christ came to show us how to live. And smart people choose to live the way Jesus Christ showed us how to live. Some things are right and some things are wrong, regardless of your opinion about them or my opinion about them. There are absolutes in the world, and we would do well to recognize the absolute God who is among us. God is personal. One more thing I want to say. God is present. God is here. God is amongst us. God is with us. God is in front of us. God is beside us. God is behind us. God is in this place right now, His Spirit moving into every heart and life and person that's gathered here for this service of worship. How was it Paul put it in his defense to the Athenians? In Him we live and move and have our very being. In Him we live and move and have our very being. I believe in the Holy Spirit who gives the universal church, who gives us the universal church and the communion of saints. It is the Holy Spirit who assures us of forgiveness of sin and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. God is here, present, now, in our midst, in our lives. When I get scared, I sing. When I sing, other people get scared. But I sing anyway. I've been doing that since I was a kid. Anytime I was scared, I'd sing my fears away. And 3 or 4 years ago, I remember laying on a gurney outside in a hallway of a hospital when all the hopes and fears of all the years and all that I was facing began to come down on my life. And I did what I've always done. I began singing. I sang, "My God and I go down this road together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. He takes my hand and whispers in the shadows, 'My God and I are going to see this thing through.'" And I was off into this spiritual conversation when an orderly walked up to me and said, "Sir, are you all right?" And I said, "Wonderfully so. Wonderfully so." Because that is what a personal relationship with a living God can do for you. God is present. God is here. We do our greatest service to the next generation of Christians by passing on to them undimmed and undiminished the noble concept of God which we have received from past generations. This is no time for retreat. It is a season for reasonable people, thinking people, to stand strong in the faith, pledging our allegiance to God the Father Almighty, made known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and forever present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, God matters. God matters. In the light of eternity, God matters. Amen.